The topic that we're going to have the Q&A about, I'll just talk about it for a few minutes, and then inshallah by that time you'll have your questions ready, and then we can try to answer as many questions as possible. The last Q&A that we had, it was a wonderful experience for myself, because the questions that you had put forth, they were amazing questions, and none of the questions were such that, you know, as I mentioned to you before, that there are questions that people ask because they want somebody else to hear the answer, or they're trying to test the Mawlana, or they are actually trying to look for that answer that is going to be satisfactory to their own understanding. Since I'm not able to read minds, so I would probably never be able to give that answer that is in the minds of that individual. So, as far as communication is concerned, this is something which lacks among us. This is a reason for a lot of the problems that happen within the community and also inside of the homes. And if we are able to become better communicators, I'm sure that a lot of the problems will get resolved. Now, communication is actually a skill. So, because let's say we do not have it, that doesn't mean that we cannot acquire it. Okay? So this is the good news, all right? So the good news is that if we don't have this, we can still acquire it. Because it is a skill, it needs to be practiced, okay? Just like any other skill that you're going to have, you're going to need to learn the theory, and then you need to apply it, and the more you apply it, the better you become, and that skill you acquire, right? So just an example, like let's say if we do not know how to do the plumbing, for example, all right? So we'll learn the theory, and then we'll do the practice, and the more practice that we do, we'll acquire the skill to be able to do plumbing, and then we will become a plumber with the skill set of to be able to fix those things, right? Some people are really good at communication because they unconsciously, subconsciously, whatever you want to call it, or genetically, they are predisposed to be better communicators than others, okay? If we do not have that in our blood, probably we do not, because if you look at our forefathers, if you look at the way that they were, in our forefathers, there was a certain amount of respect, a certain amount of understanding, and because of that respect and understanding, a lot of the misunderstandings that did happen, because there was an elder, those got resolved. But in today's time, we do not have. Actually, the elders are not accepted as elders. So really, we don't have something to resolve the problems that exist from our own misunderstandings. Okay? So to resolve that is that we become better communicators. If we become better communicators, then there is going to be less of the problems. And when there are less of problems, even though we don't have the elders or we consider them elders who can do justice among us, we'll still be able to become better. Okay, so I'll go through some of the principles of communication, and let's see if these minds of yours, they start working. Okay, one of the principles of communication is empathy. Okay, so there is empathy, and then there is sympathy. With sympathy, you cannot communicate. With sympathy, all you're going to have is pity. And pity nobody likes. You know? Nobody likes to be miserable and the other person also miserable and both miserable, although misery does like company, but would rather prefer the company of someone who's not miserable. All right? So one of the things is empathy. Empathy means what? Empathy means what? What does sympathy mean? Right, so sympathy basically means feeling sorry, indicating a problem, but not providing the solution. Okay? Empathy means indicating the problem, right? Having the emotions there of sincerity, of care, and then also providing a solution. All right? Like when you go to the doctors, they cannot be sympathetic to you. They have to be empathetic to you. Because if they're sympathetic to you, they cannot operate on you. They cannot give you those injections that are really painful. They cannot give you chemo. They cannot do dialysis. They cannot do any of those things because they're being sympathetic towards you. But if they're empathetic, they know what the solution is. They can still keep their sincerity and give you their medicine, give you that way of cure from your diseases. All right. So a good communicator is not a sympathizer, but it's a, that person is a empathizer. I don't know if that's the word, but sounds good. So the other thing about communication is to be able to, you know, the idea that you have in your mind, to project that idea into the mind of the other, a painting that you have in your mind, to be able to paint that painting in the mind of the other. And the better you are of painting that particular thing that is inside of your mind into the other mind, the better communicator you are. So far this is the second one we're talking about. Okay? So, you know, what do they say, that a painting is worth a 1,000 words? So whatever words you're going to choose, by those words the painting is going to be made. So even the words that you're going to use have to be chosen carefully, so that the painting that you want in the mind of the other person that you are seeing is projected. Right? Okay, so this is the second one. Okay, to give you the example of that, just in that bullet point, I'll use the word paraphrase. You know what paraphrase is? Yes? Paraphrase is basically this. Can somebody ask me a question, please? That's not related to the topic, and I'm not going to be answering that. It's just for the example's sake. Can you ask me a question? Okay, so wonderful. I wanted a little bit longer question so I could paraphrase, but yes, please.
What's the name of the furthest star?
What's the name of the furthest star? From planet Earth. All right. So, what did I just do? I just paraphrased the question that he was asking. Right? So, paraphrase is just to make sure that we are on the same page. Right? So what I would say to my brother is that, okay, so what you mean to say, or what you want to say, what you're asking me is that you want me to name the furthest star in the galaxy. No? All right, so you want me to answer, you want me to give you the name of the star that's the furthest from the planet Earth. Is that correct? Alhamdulillah. So now I can go and give the answer. You see how in both of the two examples, I assumed that he meant galaxy, but I didn't hear the word Earth. I don't know. So if I started just explaining to him about the name of the furthest star in the galaxy, and I go and, you know, talk about it for 20 minutes, or I give the name if I knew it, right? What would happen? There would be a miscommunication. There would be a misunderstanding. It would develop into an argument. But if I first paraphrase, understood what my brother wanted me to answer, then there is no misunderstanding, there is no miscommunication, and we are going to be on the same page. All right? The example of that is, your mom says, because it's supposed to be families, right? Communication between the families. So your mom says, so you're going to go and study in the library, and what time are you going to be coming back? Right? Yes? Maybe reverse that. You tell your mom that you're going to the library and you're going to be back at 9:30. All right? If your mother does not paraphrase, what happens? You come home and your mom looks at the time. She says, you're an hour late. Where were you? I said, Mom, I told you I'm going to be here at 9:30. Right? No, you told me 8:30. Right? But Mom, I said 9:30. No, you told me 8:30. And it's not the first time you have broken this, your promise. Every time you tell me a time, you don't come up. What's happening? What's happening here? There's a miscommunication. How are you going to handle that now with your mother? You're going to say, Mom, you're probably right. You're probably right. I probably mentioned 8:30, and I forgot I'm here at 9:30. Can you say that? Yes? But you know you didn't say 8:30. You know you didn't say 8:30. You said 9:30. You assume that your mother has understood, she has heard you 9:30. And she, in her mind, is thinking 8:30. We could have avoided that by what? Okay, Mom, so you know I'm going to be home at 9:30. Yes? So 9:30 I'll be home, all right? And as long as your mom does not give you a response that yes, from her own mouth, 9:30, only then the communication has happened. So when you paraphrase and when you get the understanding from the other person about what you mean, there's less chances of miscommunication. So first was what? You have to be empathetic. Second was you have to paint the picture in the mind of the other. You have to choose those words that are going to paint the same picture. All right? So in that, we mentioned the paraphrasing. Okay? The third thing is your tone and pitch of your voice. All right, which makes a very big difference, right? You're going. What is that? How will you feel? You're going. How will you feel? Good or bad? You're going. It's like a question, but what? How is my tone of voice? You're going to be responding, yeah, I'm going. Right or no? If I was to say, are you leaving or are you going? It's a different tone of voice. It's a different pitch. Your response would be, yes, I'm going now. True or not? When your mother asks you a question, if your tone and your pitch is not according, like, I haven't said anything wrong. Like, you know how many times it has happened. Why are you being upset? I haven't said anything wrong. The reason why she's upset is because of not the words you chose, but the tone and pitch of your voice. Right? Some families mein husband or wife bhi aa jate hain. Khana banaya hai. Khana banaya hai. Hey. Khana banaya hai. Difference hai na? Khana banaya hai. Or khana banaya hai. Tone hai na? Words are the same. But if the husband is going to use the first way of communication, guess what's going to happen? Nahi banao, nahi banaungi. Kya kar loge? Masla. Right? So, if the husband gets upset, tum kyun mere saath is tarah se bol rahi ho? Why is she talking to you that way? It's because you instigated with your tone and pitch. You gave her the stimulus and now she is responding to that. If the stimulus that you had given to her was different, her response would have been different. Yes or no? You know how much is, and is this is how many? Three. Nobody's taking notes, so this is for my own self, of course. So I think it's the third one, right? Fourth one? What was the first one? Missed the first one, okay. Empathy. Second, you choose the right words to paint the picture that is in your mind. Third, paraphrase. I think what I said was, paraphrase was part of the second one. Yeah? Okay. And? Third is tone and pitch. You know that 70% of your communication is through your body language. You know that? 70% of your communication is through your body language, and your body language does not speak Punjabi. Your body language does not speak Kashmiri. Your body language does not speak Urdu. Your body language does not speak English. You know that. And 70% of your communication is through your body language. The body language can be read by anybody. Then I said, do you have to be, you know, I mean, if you are Chinese, if you speak Chinese, if you speak Spanish, if you speak whatever. But if I say like this, anyone who sees my body language understands. Yes or no? True or not? Right? I mean, this is a universal sign that, okay, you know, when you protest, you put your arm out and you go like this, right? Or one of the universal ones is, right? Well, you don't do that in China because it's not looked good upon. This is not a good gesture. But the rest of the world, this is thumbs up, right? Or you go, what is that? You're tired, right? What is that? Angry. I don't know. Right? When you put your chin, when you put your hand in, what is this? All right. So see now, because this sign can mean many things. It's interest, right? It's interest. It's like thinking. It's like maybe, you know, he's not understanding what I'm saying. I would like, you know, this is what you do sometimes when I'm speaking. What does that mean? Not interested, right? When two people are on a negotiating table, somebody who is closer to the table, the negotiator knows that this person is interested, although his words are saying, I'm not interested. And as the person goes away from the table, the negotiator knows, although he's saying, I'm interested, but he's not interested. Right? 70% of your communication is through your body language, and you cannot see it yourself. The problem is, you cannot see your body language yourself, but the other person looking at you can see it. You see what I'm trying to say? So you come home, it's like, kya banaya hai? Right? This sort of this is a, it's like you're instigating something. Plus your tone is not right, plus your pitch is not right. And if she gets mad at you, it's like, why are you getting mad at me for? What did I do? You know what I'm saying? Only 30% is verbal, and out of the 30% that is verbal, 20% is tone and pitch. 20% is tone and pitch, and only 10% is the words you use. With me? So this is the fourth one, right? The last one is, and I'll just, we'll just do five because five is a good number. As somebody, I want to have a conversation with you. Somebody start a conversation with me. Somebody start a conversation, please. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you? You're doing well? How was your day today? It was full of learning. What did you learn today? It's okay, I might be able to understand it. Okay, what is an ism? No, you don't have to go any further now, all right? But just in this example that I gave you, who had the leadership? I did. Yes or no? Who had the leadership? I did. Why did I have the leadership? I was asking questions, right? So in a conversation, whoever is asking questions has the leadership. And whoever is answering has lost leadership. So what do you do to gain leadership? Right, so start a conversation. Salam alaikum. How are you? Yeah, how are you? Oh, for myself, I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine. And how about yourself?
I'm doing well. I just mentioned I'm doing well. I know you have the right idea. So basically, when you respond to a question, you give the answer. Ask a question from the other person. But your question has to be such that it doesn't sound like you're just asking a question for the sake of asking so you can take the leadership of that conversation, right? But it has to be a question that is, you know, that the person gives a long answer. So the person is giving you a long answer, you're listening, and the more that they are talking, who has the leadership? The person who is quiet. Remember that. We think if we talk a lot, we have the leadership. In reality, if we talk a lot, the other person has leadership. The one who is silent more has leadership, and the one who speaks more is what? Being subjugated under the authority of the individual who's quiet. Right? So this is a skill. It's a communication skill. And if you can earn your respect between the two people that you are conversing, guess what? You can make them do anything you want. Yeah, right? So when you're talking, you know, when you are talking to the individuals that are your friends, or you're talking to your brothers or your sisters, right? And you want to have something accomplished, make sure that you have the leadership in the conversation. If you do not, and if you are not, you know, you're giving your leadership to the other person, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to get what you want. The other thing is, you are already in the frame of mind that you want something from them, and they taking the leadership already has made you upset. And you're going to take that out on them. Masan, your wife says, can we go to the mall? With me. Mall to aapke nahi hote idhar. Hote? It's called a town center, aise. Right? So, if your wife says, can we go to the town center? And now this is the thing. And just remember, if your wives are listening, they're also learning the skill. Okay? So, I said, all right, alhamdulillah, then. You don't have to worry about this going to the town center. But if she says, can we go to the town center? And you say, why? That's the wrong answer. Right? So, what do you do? He said, of course we can go to the town center. Do you remember that in the afternoon we also have to go to the friend's house? What did you just do? You just took over the leadership, right? So he says, yeah, you know what? I remember that we have to go. So do you think we'll be back in time so that you can get ready and the kids to be ready for us to go? You know, probably not, because it's not going to have enough time. So let's forget about going to the town center. You save money, and you got what you wanted. You didn't go to the town center, right? What is that? It's just a communication skill. You can acquire that. And I mean, your wife can acquire that. And instead of having an argument about not going to the town center because you don't want to go, it was a very nice win-win situation. She didn't get upset. You didn't get upset. The conversation was fine. And you're both happy because she thinks you're thinking about her. She thinks you're thinking about her. And you yourself are happy because you didn't want to go to the town center. It's a win-win, right? So my brothers and sisters, the thing is, when it comes to our families, especially the fathers and the mothers, they already have a generation gap, they already have a cultural gap, and then if they have a communication gap, our kids at the mercy of, you know, it's something which we really need to be concerned about. You cannot fill the generation gap because you are 50 now, and when you had your son, you were 20. You can never fill that gap. And the generation gap, we have the cultural gap. You were raised in India or Pakistan or in Kashmir, wherever you happen to be raised. That culture your kids have not seen. So that gap will never be filled. But what you can do is fill the gap of communication. Because even if you do not have these skills, you can acquire it. So yeah, then you won't be seeing this. you know, my dad doesn't understand me, and the son is saying that my dad doesn't understand me, and the father is saying my son doesn't understand me. Have you ever had that? ये होता है या नहीं? बाप कहता है कि मेरा बेटा मुझे नहीं समझता और बेटा कहता है मेरा बाप मुझे नहीं समझता. ये क्या किस चीज की इंडिकेशन है? What is it indicating? It's indicating that they have a communication gap. If they did not have a communication gap, they would not be saying that. ठीक है? So how many things I said? 5. What was the first one? Empathy. Second one, you choose the right words to paint the right picture. We didn't go too much in detail about that, but I just used the paraphrase part in it. But there's a lot more discussion. Third was tone and pitch. Fourth was body language. Fifth was taking leadership in the conversation. All right, so that's 5. Now, if you like, we can have some questions. Yes. Right.
And there's lots of things goes behind, you know, in the mind.
Right.
What happens with the parents is child thinks that parents don't understand what he's on about or what's going through his life.
Right.
Most parents that I've come across, they know exactly what's happening.
Right.
But they're not able to put it together.
Right. Okay, so between 14 and 19, I think I know where you're indicating, although I should... Before I go and answer that, of the same thing that I just mentioned to you, so you're leaning more towards the body changes that the person is going through, which will, you know, drive him towards certain things that, you know, the parents don't want that person to go towards. Is that basically? Along those lines. So, no, it has to be that. Okay.
Some parents know exactly what a child is going through.
They don't understand.
They don't understand. Okay. So he's kind of holding back.
All right. I think the children need to understand that we did not come into this world looking like this. Yani, I was a child at one point. Right? The children forget that my parents were children at one point. They were teenagers at one point. They were 20-year-old at one point. They went through the same phases of life that I'm going through. Okay? As far as those changes are concerned, your parents also went through it. Okay? The problem here is not really the understanding. The problem here is shyness. You know, you're shy about talking about those things to your parents that you've never spoken to them about. Right? Okay. Who is the best person to talk about those changes that you're going through from 14 to 19? Is it your friends? Is it your friends? They're going through the same changes. They're crossing the same bridge. Should you not ask somebody who has already crossed the bridge? Right? Because if they're going to give you the answers, they're going to give you the same answers. It's kind of like, oh, I mean, whatever comes to their mind. They haven't crossed that bridge yet. Your parents are the best person to actually go through and have communication with them with those issues. But we become shy because we say, what if I say to my father something that is going to get upset about? True? Okay, so this is how you can talk to your dad. Dad, you remember when you were 14? So this is for the kids now, okay? You talk to your dad like, Dad, do you remember when you were 14? So one person be my dad, for example, just for role play sake. All right, yeah. Although, anyways, so let's see. Dad, do you remember when you were 14? You remember? Okay. All right, so when you were 14, did you have anybody that you could talk to?
It's very quiet, Dad. Taking the leadership.
I mean, just all you have to say, no, right? No, no. You didn't, right? Didn't you wish that you had somebody that you could talk to about the different things that you were experiencing and the changes that were happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm 14 and I'm going through the same thing and I want to talk to somebody. Will you listen to me without getting upset or without being shy about it? Because if you don't talk to me, I'm going to end up talking to somebody else. So is it okay if I speak to you?
Yeah, sure.
There we go. Okay. So what happened here? That you spoke to your dad, you brought him back to when he was 14. Because parents forget. Right? And you brought him back when he was 14, and when you asked him the question, did you have somebody that you could talk to, he said no. Right? So then you said to him, okay, I'm going through the same thing. Did you not wish that you had somebody to talk to, that your father spoke to you? Well, I'm expecting the same thing from you. So you speak to me, talk to me. All right? But if you were, like if this scenario didn't happen, you probably would not be able to, even though, I mean, I think these things are also being recorded, so you know, if you want to talk about the same subject, you can try to use this sort of role play, or you can use the same words, dialogues, right? But let's say if the dad says, yes, I did have somebody that I could talk to, then he'll say, who was that? Who was that? And if he says, okay, you don't want to know, if he says that it was a friend of mine, you say to him that, would you rather me speak to a friend? Because I'm sure he's had a bad experience, or he had things that he realized afterwards that they were not right. Right? So you said no. Then you say, okay, I want to talk to you. All right? How can one guide their siblings if they are not trying on the path of God, if they do not pray, listen to music, etc., words and actions do not have an effect? A lot of the times, basically most of the times, or you can say in almost every household, this is an issue. Okay? And the parents are having a very tough time actually communicating to the kids, because most of the time when we try to communicate to the child, we are trying to keep our authority over them. Okay? But if they happen to be 14, you need to bring yourself down. Okay? You need to bring yourself down to their level and act as a friend. So you let go of your dad cap and put a cap of a friend. Otherwise, you won't be able to communicate to that person. Right? You know what empathy is also? That you need to walk a mile in the shoes of the other person. Have you heard that? If you want to know them. Okay. Can you walk in a mile in the shoes of the other person if your shoes are still on? No, right? So what do you have to do first? You have to take your shoes off first. Right? And this is the hardest thing for us to do. Right? We need to take our shoes off first and then get into their shoes and walk a mile. You know? I would rather, the parents, I know that for a fact, we cannot survive 1 week in the environment that our kids are growing up. 1 week. In 1 week, I'm giving a lot. The kids, our kids in university, in colleges, in high school, or whatever you call, we cannot survive 1 week, the amount of things that they have to face. So if you're trying to communicate to them, just not taking the hat off of a father or mother, communication is not going to happen. So the first thing we need to do is just act as a friend. Okay? And as far as the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, you try to guide a person as much as you can. And in this guidance, you have to choose the right effort to put in. And if you do that and the person is not coming back to you, right, you have to be a bit creative now. If you've already tried one thing, you know what the rule of insanity is? Anybody know the rule of insanity? The rule of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. All right? The rule of insanity is that you keep on trying the same thing over and over again and you expect that the result is going to be different every time. It's not. If you're trying the same thing, the result's going to be the same. Okay? So you need to, and we need to acquire a different method to be able to communicate to our children. Because to be honest, ab hum bachon ko maar sakte nahi idhar. Although hame maar padti rahi hai, almost time. I was 16. Maar padti rahi hai. And my dad actually, mere abbu ko realized ho ke wo galat jagah pe apne bachon ko le aaye. And when he realizes, when he went to my high school, or he wanted to get a result of mine, and the office administrator said, you need to get a written permission from your son, because he's 18. Abbu se kehte hain ki aapko permission slip lani padegi apne bete se, kyunki wo 18 saal ka ho gaya. Because he's an adult, now if you want to see his results, then you need a permission from your son. Right? Abbu realized that I took the wrong place for my children. If Pakistan was in Pakistan, what would Alhamdulillah. I mean, there is a place of punishment in discipline. There is a place. You know, it's definitely, there's a place, and if the child psychologist or whatever, the psychologists are not realizing that there is a place of punishment and discipline, they're going to realize. But that punishment has to be in a way that it's not abuse. It has to be focused on the goal that you want to achieve of discipline. We cannot be abused. And what we tend to do with our children is we verbally abuse them, and sometimes we physically abuse them. And then we expect them, right, to change their ways. What will happen is, instead of changing their ways, they will rebel. Right, they will stand against you. But if it's like that, then you can never take them to God's way. So this, we have to do a little bit. If I have to take my child, for example, right, if I take a car, ठीक है वो सुन लेगा लेकिन आया अगर कोई मुझे निकाले तो मैं क्या करूं मुझे अच्छा लगेगा अच्छा नहीं लगेगा मेरा बच्चा भी एक इंसान है मेरा बच्चा भी एक इंसान है उसके भी वही जज्बात हैं जो एक इंसान के होते हैं जब मुझे अच्छा नहीं लगेगा उसको कैसे अच्छा लगेगा खाके जो बाप है वो निकाल रहा है उसको अच्छा नहीं लगेगा वो सुन तो लेगा लेकिन उसके दिल पे कैसी चोट लग जाएगी कैसे जख्म हो जाएगा जो फिर हील नहीं होगा और बार-बार अगर सुनता रहेगा तो वो खुद गालियां निकालने लग जाएगा तो मेरे जो भाई और मेरे जो बहनें जब बच्चों के साथ बात करें तो अगर तो वो 14 से 21 साल की एज में हैं तो उनके साथ ऐसे बात करें जैसे वो आपके दोस्त हैं अगर वो 7 से 14 साल की एज में हैं तो ऐसे बात करें जैसे वो गुलाम हैं और अगर 0 to 7 है तो ऐसे बात करें जैसे वो बादशाह या मलका है ठीक है ये हमारा मेथड ऑफ कम्युनिकेशन होना चाहिए अपने बच्चों के साथ ये रसूल ने कहा है ये रसूल अल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की हदीस है अल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि कि जब आप अपने बच्चे से बात करना चाहें अगर वो 0 से 7 साल का है तो वो मलका बादशाह है 7 से 14 गुलाम है और 14 से 21 जो है वो फ्रेंड है और 21 के बाद वो आपका वजीर है वो बच्चा जो है वो बेचारा 30 साल का भी हो जाता तो गुलाम की एज से निकलता ही नहीं है ना वो 30 साल का हो गया है लेकिन गुलाम की एज से निकल ही नहीं रहा वो वहीं पे बेचारा फंसा हुआ है दोस्ती की तो बात पता नहीं अब 50 साल की उम्र में आए या 60 साल की उम्र में वो निकल ही नहीं रहा उसमें से तो देखिए हमारे पास इस्लाम में तरबियत करने का निजाम बताया गया है वी हैव बीन गिवन द मेथोडोलॉजी इन इस्लाम हाउ टू रेज आवर किड्स वी नीड टू फाइंड द मेथोडोलॉजी एंड वी नीड टू एक्ट ऑन दैट इफ वी एक्ट ऑन दैट वी कैन रेज आवर किड्स एनीवेयर एनी पार्ट ऑफ द वर्ल्ड वी कैन रेज आवर किड्स But if we go away from that and we use our own methodology to raise them, that we were raised in Pakistan or India, there's a very big difference here from there. You know, even a person who was my neighbor could, you know, hit me and tell me to go home. And in that culture, it was accepted. Okay? But it's not here. Right? So we need to change our method of communication when it comes to our kids. And if we can do that, you will see there will be a bit of change. Okay? Any other questions? Amar bin Maruf anil Munkar to aap sab hum sab pe wajib hai, right? Amar bin Maruf anil Munkar hum sab pe wajib hai, lekin hamare andar tahammul nahi raha. We don't have the patience to actually hear what the other person is saying for us to do something good. Right? Or at least in our own community, right? Abhi main baat sirf, you know, when you come to the center, all of these kids are our kids. All of these kids are our kids. If we come as a community on the same page that everybody is like a father figure to the child that is coming into the center, and they have the right to be able to stop this child if they see the child is doing something wrong. Only then that system can be implemented, and it is a very good system. But if you tell somebody, you know, you tell them that what you're doing is wrong, and then the father comes to you and says, mind your own business. So what are you going to do? You won't say anything next time you see a child doing something wrong. Right? So in order for us to get to that, we should get to that, eventually get to that, but at the moment, we're not there. I've seen fights happen in communities because somebody told someone's child to stop swearing or told them not to run around or, you know, to stop doing what they were doing. They went to the parents, they told them, this aga, uncle told me this and such and such. They came to the uncle and said, why are you doing this? This is not your child, you should mind your own business. You are not in, for example, India, Pakistan anymore. This is UK. And, you know, or Canada or America, whatever the case is. And this is any, you know, one of the part of the problems that we are facing. And reality is that every child is our child. Yes.
Being parents, what is the standard of religious knowledge that is required to raise a child? And secondly, how can we separate cultural household running compared to the Islamic way of running the house?
Right. Well, some of those things are only going to happen in the government of our imam, okay? So, but for now, for the time being, right? A parent should have enough knowledge about haram and halal as far as the risala is concerned or fiqh is concerned that the child is going to need when they become baligh, okay? Basically, they should know all of the masail that they need to know by the time they get baligh. Okay? They need to give them the guidance that is required for ideology. And they need to have the character that your kids and our kids can emulate in akhlaq. So those are the prerequisites. Like I said, this is going to happen in the government of our imam. So far, you guys who are going to become parents, right, who are not parents yet, make sure when you get married, by the time you have a child, you should know all of these three things. Because just to send them to madrasa is not enough. Well, you need to do this at home. All right? At home, we need to do this. They should know what is right and wrong. Yes.
Some things which should be very open and straightforward in an Islamic household are for one reason or another they become taboo. And one of those is the topic of marriage, for example, which many of our younger brothers and sisters, they struggle
yeah.
in communicating their expectations and convincing their parents that their expectations are right, both from a Shari point of view and both from a personal point of view.
Yeah.
But then from the parents' point of view, their expectations are also right from a Shari point of view and a personal point of view. And I think one of the biggest issues we see in our communities is that huge gap, which then leads to multiple issues, because ultimately either the children submit and are unhappy, or they don't submit and the parents are unhappy. So I know a lot of what we discussed should address these things anyway, but just some sort of specific.
Right. So basically, I'll tell you the root problem is that for the Prophet, the masjid was the nucleus for every single thing that dealt with the way of life that Muslims are supposed to live. Okay? When we stopped having masjids, when we started having centers that were only open twice a week, where we only started showing up twice a week, right? And then when we did show up, none of these issues were discussed. None of the issues were mentioned. Right? We had no seminars. We had no conferences. We had no education. We had nobody there to tell us. Right? So this is where it started, and we, you know, got into the same cycle over and over again. And then when it comes, you know, like for example, the parents will find Islam when they come here. A lot of us have found Islam when we have come here. Now, because they found Islam, they do want to do something which is Islamic, but on the same side, they want to also keep their cultural values or their dreams, what they have. And the child here who has been given Islam, but does not know the cultural values and the dreams of back home, right? Now, the problem comes, the parents don't understand the child, and the child doesn't understand the parent. Religion in itself becomes a source for argument. But the root cause is not the religion. The root cause is the cultural gap, the communication gap, right? And Islam just becomes a reason for them to argue and use Islam as a mode where they want to accomplish what the son wants to accomplish what he wants, and the parents want to accomplish what they want. To be honest, right? So, for example, if the son comes up and says, okay, I would like to get married to this particular person, the parents say no. Okay, this is the scenario. What does the son do? Why? I mean, you know, she's a nice person. She wears hijab. She's a good person. She prays 5 times a day, right? Why can't I not get married to her? And the parents reply, we are telling you, we are your parents. Right? So now what does the son does? So you don't understand me. I mean, tell me a reason I cannot marry her. Tell me a reason from religion why I can't marry her. So I told you can't. The reason why? Because I'm your father and I'm telling you and you can't. And Islamically, I have my stature, and you have to listen to me. Yes? ऐसे होता है ना कि मैं आपका बाप हूँ, मैं आपको से कह रहा हूँ, इस्लाम में माँ बाप की जो है वो इज्जत रखी गई है, जो माँ बाप कहते हैं वो करते हैं, आपको यही करना पड़ेगा. ऐसे ही है ना तकरीबन. तो यहाँ पे क्या है कि बच्चा भी इस्लाम को इस्तेमाल कर रहा है, माँ बाप भी इस्लाम को इस्तेमाल कर रहे हैं, जो रूट कॉज है उसके ऊपर कोई बात ही नहीं कर रहा. क्योंकि फॉर एग्ज़ाम्पल, अगर आपको ये पता है कि वो हिजाब पहनती हैं और वो मसलन 5 times वो नमाज पढ़ती हैं, वॉज इट रियली जस्ट दैट रीज़न दैट यू वॉन्ट टू गेट मैरिड टू दैट पर्सन? वॉज इट जस्ट दोज रीजन्स? दोज रीजन्स हैव बिकम मे बी इन सम सिनेरियोस अ प्लस पॉइंट फॉर यू टू take your case to the higher authority and argue because of those things. All right? So, you know, we can't use Islam for what we really want and use it and say, okay, Islam says that, and then we get into an argument, and then, you know, the kids feel that our parents are not willing to do that. There are some circumstances which are genuine, but like, other than that, you have to know where the root cause is. Okay? In the same scenario, if you have any other scenarios or questions you can ask, this is kind of like an important thing, but there's probably no hard and fast answer for that, because as I mentioned, if it was Islam which was important for us, we would have no argument. We would have no argument. You know what you're supposed to look in a wife? Degree? Good status? Right. So one of my teachers, he said that when you guys want to get married, stop looking at the Urdu mein bahut zyada rahega, phir English mein translate karte hain ki jab aap shaadi ke liye nikalte hain to aasmanon ke makhlooqon ko chhod ke zameen ke makhlooqat se shaadi karein. یعنی آپ چاہ آسمانی مخلوقات سے شادی کرنا وہ آسمانی مخلوقات کو چھوڑ کے زمینی مخلوقات سے شادی کریں. So when you want to get married, you feel like marrying somebody of a person of heavens. You know, come down a little bit and marry somebody who is a creation of this earth, on this earth, living on this earth. Meaning on planet earth, yeah. There was one story I'll just tell you. It'd be good for us to get refreshed. This person went to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam haram and he said, and he said that he had a huge list about what he wanted in the wife. He said, Imam, this is what I want. When he came back from the Zari, a person approached and said, you asked Imam for a wife, I'm here. Right? So these two people get married, and then, you know, the situation comes where the mother-in-law gets really, really ill, and she's about to leave this earth, and as she dies, the husband looks at the wife, and the wife had a kind of like a smile on her face. And when he sees that, he says to the wife that, you know, I'm leaving you, because instead of you having to cry for my mother who passed away, you smiled. And this woman replied, she said, that's fine, you want to leave me, I'll go. But just to let you know that when you went to Imam Ali and asked for all of those things, there was no woman on earth that met your criteria. There was no woman on earth that met your criteria. I happened to be from the species of the jinn. And when your mother was leaving, when the curtains were lifted, she saw me in my true state. And my expression was not a smile, just of surprise that she could see me. All right? So, ourselves, we are looking for somebody out of this planet. You know, we got to break down a little bit of our list as well. You know, and look for one or two things, not like 10 things, 20 things. And if you look for one of those two things, most likely you and your parents can come up to a agreement. Because let's say you have 10 things and you only come up to an agreement with 2 things, guess how many differences you have? 8. But if you only have 2 things, majority of the time, at least out of 2, 1 you would agree. Right? So for my youth who haven't gotten married yet, don't have too big of a list. For the parent side, you know, the happiness of your children is important to you. You make sure that in the process of this selection, right, your child is razi and content with this decision so that later on we don't have issues, because our rate of people leaving each other is skyrocketing and we are getting into the same stats as the divorce rate or separation rate of the culture that we live in. Okay, so rather having the issues later on, let's face those issues in the beginning so that the lives are not broken and the kids don't get affected if they end up having. There's 10 more minutes left, so, yes.
The result of the discussed communication, the result of non-effective communication, argument arises.
Right.
How to avoid those arguments with your kids, with your family, or with your friends? I mean, maybe we are not perfect communicators.
Right.
Both sides try to take over each other if we are trying to discuss anything.
Right. Okay, so avoiding the argument, I think we spoke about it in the beginning. So just keep that in mind, and you have a reference as well if you wanted to go back and look at it. Let's just talk about anger management, because that's a good thing. Anger management is a good thing. Anger is not a good thing. And we, I don't know, hamein kya hota hai, hamari ghaza hai, wo mirchi hai, ye jo hum khate hain, ki wo khana hai jo hum khate hain, ki kya masla hai ki humme, we have a lot of these issues. We get angry very, very fast. We have very fuse. Our fuses are very short. Hey, yani, hum bahut jaldi gussa kha jate hain. Halanki hum us deen se hain ki jisme gussa haram hai. Theek hai? Aur uske pee jane ka sawab hai. Gussa karna haram hai. Aur usko pee jana sawab ka kaam hai. So if you suppress your anger, you will get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you act on your anger, it is haram. You get guna. Okay? To have that religion and us being angry, it doesn't really make sense. So anger can be managed. Anger is not something that you become the victim of. Anger is your byproduct. You own it and you can manage it. First thing is to come to this understanding that anger is your product. Okay, you have created it. You are the master. You can manage it. Second is to stop anger when it starts. Because once you feed it, it grows that much that you cannot control yourself. Aapko pata hai gussa kahan se shuru hota hai? Ab mujhe ye role play nahi karna chahta hu. मैसेज शुरू होता है बहुत सारे और भी ट्रिगर्स हैं लेकिन बॉडी के अंदर उसका एक फिजियोलॉजिकल इफेक्ट होता है जब गुस्सा शुरू होता है एड्रेनलिन पंप होता है व्हेन एड्रेनलिन पंप्स देयर इज अ फिजियोलॉजिकल चेंज इनसाइड ऑफ योर बॉडी एंड दैट इज अ फीलिंग ऑफ वार्मथ हीट दैट प्रोड्यूसेस मोर लाइक इन दिस रीजन एंड यू कैन एक्चुअली फील दैट इट काइंड ऑफ ग्रोज अप and up and up and up and to the point where it reaches your head and then you kind of lose control, right? I mean, on the background, there's a lot more physiological things that are happening, but for us to be able to feel it, next time jab aap gusse mein ho na, dekhna. Wo shuru kahan se? Wo takriban yahan se shuru hota hai. Ab yahan se leke yahan tak jane mein time lagta hai na. Kuch logon ko kam lagta hai, kuch logon ko zyada lagta hai, lekin time lagta hai. You know, it takes time. If you can stop it before it reaches here, you can control it. You can manage it. But if you let it go up to here, there is no anger management. Over here is insanity. Over there is insanity. You cannot control it because you yourself have lost your sanity. If you want to manage your anger, you have to control it before it gets here. Yeh uske liye kya kar sakte hain aap? जिससे आपको ये शायद थोड़े सा आपके लिए नया हो जिससे आपको जिस पे आपको गुस्सा आ रहा है उसके जाके हाथ पकड़ लो ठीक है जाहिर है वो अब ये कि महरम ना महरम का इशू साथ में रखेगा ये नहीं कि अब मौलाना ने कहा था मुझे तुम पे गुस्सा आ रहा है तो मैंने तुम्हारा हाथ पकड़ लिया ऐसा नहीं ठीक है या नहीं मसलन अगर फॉर एग्जाम्पल ऐसा होना नहीं चाहिए लेकिन माशाल्लाह अगर ऐसा होता है कि माँ पर यू नो यू आर गेटिंग एंग्री विद योर मदर बिफोर इट गो स्टार्ट्स गोइंग अप जस्ट गो एंड ग्रैब हर हैंड यू विल सी दैट दिस वॉर्म्थ विल डिसअपीयर जस्ट यू टचिंग हर हैंड योर एंगर विल बी मैनेज्ड इट वॉन्ट गो एनी फर्दर ठीक है, अगर बीवी प्यार है उसका हाथ जाके पकड़, और माँ अगर हाथ छुड़ाए भी तो छुड़ा रहे नहीं, माँ का उनके पाँव पकड़ लें, आप उनके पास बैठ जाएं, नज़दीक चले जाएं उनके, यू हैव टू बी, स्किन हैज टू बी इन कॉन्टैक्ट, राइट। और आप ये कभी करके देखें, अगर ख़त्म हो जाएगा गुस्सा, जितनी मर्जी जो भी चीज़, जितना मर्जी गुस्सा चढ़ा हो तो ख़त्म हो जाएगा, ठीक है। आप क्या कर रहे हैं, इन दिस एक्शन व्हाट यू डूइंग इज यू, when you hold someone's hand or you your skin touches the other person's skin, right, this is a sign of love, this is a sign of love. Someone who you love, how can you get angry with? And automatically the response is your anger subsides. Okay, the other thing you can do is that if you are standing up, just sit down. If you're standing up, you just sit down. If you have the opportunity, go and do some vadu. Vazu kar le aap jaake. If you have the opportunity, right? If you have the opportunity, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all of this can be done before it reaches here. Once it reaches here, aap vazu ka time niklega, haath pakdenge, ye sab nahi ho sakta. तो मैनेज कब हो सकता है, जब ये शुरू हो, ठीक है। तो आप यकीन करें कि अगर आप ऐसी कोशिश करते हैं तो कोई मसला नहीं होगा, आप मैनेज कर लें। इफ यू डोंट, इफ यू लेट इट ग्रो, और मेरी बहनों के लिए भी ये दरख्वास्त है कि मेरे भाइयों पे कम गुस्सा करा करें, क्योंकि आजकल गुस्सा ज़्यादा बहनों को चाह रहा है, एक कारण रोल्स रिवर्स हो गए हैं कि गुस्सा जो है वो हमारी बहनों को ज़्यादा चढ़ता है। और आपका जो गुस्सा है ना, अगर आप थोड़ा सा भी दिखाते हैं तो वो जो हमारा मेल ईगो है ना, वो उस थोड़े से गुस्से को भी एक बहुत बड़ी चीज़ समझता है। लेकिन अगर आपकी तरफ से थोड़ा सा प्यार मोहब्बत, कोई स्माइल, लिटिल स्माइल, यू नो, लिटिल बिट ऑफ यू नो इग्नोरिंग इट, और नॉट जस्ट इग्नोरिंग इट बट जस्ट सेइंग दैट यू नो जान डोंट वरी इट्स ओके ऑलराइट इट्स ओके इट्स फाइन, अगर थोड़ा सा भी आपकी तरफ आए, हम अपने मैनेज कर लेंगे गुस्से को, हम अपने गुस्से को मैनेज कर लेंगे। लेकिन अगर आपकी तरफ से रिस्पॉन्स ऐसी आए कि हमारे मेल ईगो को चोट पड़े, तो फिर अल्लाह हाफिज है, और वो गुस्सा सर तक चला जाएगा, ठीक है। इन एवरी आर्ग्यूमेंट, इन एवरी आर्ग्यूमेंट व्हेन एंगर हैपेंस, इट इज ऑन बोथ साइड, समथिंग हैज हैपेंड, दिस इज द रिजल्ट ऑफ इट। जो उर्दू में हम कहते हैं ना, ताली दो हाथ से बजती है, एक हाथ से नहीं बजती, ठीक है। सो बोथ ऑफ अस एंड द पेरेंट्स एंड द चिल्ड्रन एज वेल, यू नो, यू ट्राई टू मैनेज ईच अदर्स एंगर। इफ यू ट्राई टू मैनेज ईच अदर्स एंगर, मेजॉरिटी ऑफ द टाइम द सिचुएशन विल नॉट गो आउट ऑफ हैंड। ऑलराइट जी, yeah,
we both are from same sect, we come to same Imam Baga, but we are trying to tell them, they are trying to tell us, and then it escalates very quickly, even in mosque. So that was the main reason of my question.
Okay, I'm sorry, I only understood it through for family's sake, because the topic was that, but they are also our family, like our brothers are also our family. So what I understood from you is that now you would like me to put comment on when two brothers from the same faith are trying to explain their faith or something in their faith to each other, and it starts off with the right intentions probably, but it ends up escalating into anger, and then we have issues in the mosques, right? Okay. Majority of the time when the discussion starts between two individuals who are talking about religion, they should be qualified. Right? They should be qualified. If two people wish to talk about medicine, they both should be doctors, or at least students of medicine, right? But what happens with us is that we're not qualified to have a religious discussion between each other, and we start a religious discussion which ends up in a fight. And that's how it should end up. It shouldn't end up in a scholarly result with knowledge being, you know, osmosis process of knowledge being going and coming forth, and two people come, mashallah sab aapne mujhe nurani kar diya, aapne mere ilm mein izafa kar diya, main is masle ke bare mein jaise samajhta tha main bilkul aisa samajhta hu kya mashallah alhamdulillah khuda ka shukr hai. Is ye result nahi niklega, kyun? Kyunki dono unqualified hai. Unqualified people, whenever they discuss about something, it just results in a fight. Okay, so what you try to do is, if you think that the other person is doing something wrong, okay, what you do is, you can, you know, to help the brother, you know, you don't have to necessarily even approach him. What you can do is, if there is a person who is qualified to talk about religious matters, you bring to that person's attention and you ask this person to handle this particular situation in private. And therefore, you need to have a doctor for your hospital. Right? We have, somebody was telling me, we have 75 centers in UK that do not have a doctor. Centers meaning Imam Bargahs that doesn't have a resident alim. Okay? When, if you do have a resident alim, you have a qualified person, then why is it that we who are unqualified try to talk about religion with each other? If you didn't have a qualified person, okay, chalo phir bhi banda understand kar leta. But you have a qualified person, it's a religious issue, let the qualified person handle that issue. Right? So you don't have to get into the argument. You know, a lot of the times it's the animosity or maybe something this person has done and you want to get back to them and you start this argument. Okay? So inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. We'll become better communicators and we will have less of issues in our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to control our anger. May our sisters become the mothers who are going to raise the soldiers of our imam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us enough strength that we can resolve our differences and be united for the sake of Islam. We can recite 5 times with me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su'. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su'. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su'. عمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء عمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم صل